following Packers Green 19 podcast is a production of JS Online and Packers News. And now, here are your hosts, Jim Ozarski and Tom Silverstein.
Good morning, everyone. It is the Green 19 podcast. Co-host Jim Ozarski, Tom Silverstein here after a long night at Lambeau Field, where the Green Bay Packers beat the Atlanta Falcons 30-16 in front of nobody, but a few of us and some staffers. And to move to 4-0, and Tom, let's just get right into it because it's the bye week, and, you know, we want to enjoy our 4 days here. Mm-hmm. But 30-16, Aaron Rodgers throws for 4 touchdowns, and the Packers, Tom, just continue to roll. And I think perhaps their most efficient or surprising, or I'm curious your word, in terms of rolling up 400 yards of total offense and 30 points without Devontae Adams, without Allen Lazard, without Mercedes Lewis. How do they do it?
So I think what you end up having to do when you're missing 2 wide receivers like that is – figure out how you can stress the defense. And Atlanta's weakness was the 2 missing safeties. And LaFleur came up with a really pretty good game plan that used the 2 running backs and his tight end to sort of take advantage of those things. And, you know, they ran the ball okay, not great. Atlanta seemed to want to stop Aaron Jones hell or high water. And, you know, they held him to 71 yards, but that wasn't enough. You know, they found ways to get guys open. And Atlanta, on the other hand, you know, they had Julio Jones and they had Calvin Ridley, and they couldn't figure it out. You know, they just couldn't figure out a way to win, even with those guys hobbling. It was sort of a tale of 2 different offenses that way.
Yeah, I thought Matt LaFleur, the ability to, you know, really scheme up. And we talked about this, Tom, a lot last year, and we've really seen it in these first 4 weeks. But just to scheme up guys, to scheme up or attack, as you said, scheme up, you know, an opponent's weakness. I mean, you mentioned Aaron Jones, 71 rushing yards, you know, again, continues his pace for well over 1,000 yards. They handed it off 24 times. They threw it 33 times. I mean, that's the ratio they're at. And they didn't, and even late, Tom, I thought, when the run game, when Atlanta seemed to kind of figure out some of that stuff, mm-hmm. They never went away from it in the sense where they could just sort of sit back and maybe try to go after Aaron Rodgers, where again, you know, he was dropped for a sack, which, you know, that's going to go to him and not David Bakhtiari. So, and Robert Tonyan, I, you know, we've seen this. How do I say this, Tom? I think we've seen this ability from him when he's been healthy. But it was clearly a day where it all kind of came together with Matt LaFleur's game plan, Aaron Rodgers being accurate, and the Falcons just really having no one to defend the middle of the field.
Yeah, and blow a couple of coverages too,
right,
which left
right.
him wide open. I think you hit on the most important thing is that he stayed healthy. And then, you know, it's not just circumstance. I mean, he's proven he can get down the field. He's a former wide receiver, and that's his strength. But you know, he benefited from a couple of blown coverages, and he made the plays. And that's what they needed. They needed their tight end to get down the field and cause some disruption. On the one, he beat the linebackers fair and square. He just outran them. And so we haven't really seen a tight end do that around here in quite a while. And that was supposed to be Sternberger, you know?
Right.
But he's I think he's more physically ready, and just he's got experience now. He's been around for 3 years, and so he's kind of ready.
Yeah, and it's yet another player. You know, it was Adams week one, Jones week two, Alan Lazard week three, Robert Tonyan week four. And I do have to revisit this because, you know, we talked about it after the draft. You know, they made Devin Funchess was it. You know, they drafted Josiah DeGuire and A.J. Dillon. But this offense, dating back to Mike Shanahan and then go down the tree, it's being able to make do with whoever you have. And look, they're 6-0 now, Tom, without Devontae Adams. They're not a better team without him. Don't misunderstand me. But one of the reasons they were able to win four games last year was Alan Lazard all of a sudden became somebody we knew. Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones all of a sudden could run routes and option routes and catch passes. And now this year we're seeing that the tight ends, whether it's the three of them last week for 9 catches or Robert Tonyan this week, it's clearly working. Like Brian Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur, I guess what I'm trying to say, Tom, is when they're running this offense correctly and Aaron Rodgers is making his reads, it really truly is whoever they run out there at this point. Now, I mean, it feels that way.
Well, it's easy, a lot easier to do that when your quarterback's not on the ground a lot.
Yeah.
And that has been a huge part of it. I don't know that, you know, a year ago, I don't remember. Well, I guess Rodgers had more time, but he held on the ball the time last year.
Yeah.
And from a pass blocking standpoint, they seem to really have it together. And I'm a little surprised at that. You know, I was never a big fan of Billy Turner's pass blocking, but I think he must have been, you know, the way we saw it, he must have been misplayed as a guard because he seems to be a lot better as a tackle. That helps a lot. He and offensive line playing like that and they're not suffering any injuries or many, that's a huge thing.
Yeah, with Lucas Patrick at right guard, and again, you know, they gave him an extension a year ago, Tom, and in my view, it was sort of to back them up quite literally. If Corey Linsley were to escape in free agency next year, it gave them kind of a bridge if they needed one. But Lucas Patrick, Billy Turner, I think are going to have at times, Tom, their issues. I think we saw that a little bit, in that fourth down and fourth and goal play.
Yeah.
I mean, Billy Turner was just beaten off the snap. Robert Tonyan's beaten off the snap and Jamal Williams. I mean, but that's going to happen, I guess. And I think at this point, Rodgers is healthy. He can move. And those running backs are playing so well too, where those mistakes aren't going to hurt this team. To go for it on fourth and one at the one, they didn't get it. I don't know if in the last couple of years, Tom, they'd be able to just run off 23 more points after that. Does that make sense? It just feels like they're able to overcome whatever issues they may have personnel wise.
Yeah, they are. And I don't know that they've played a great team. Hit the first 4 weeks. I think they've benefited from the teams that they've played. But then again, there aren't that many great teams in the league. And so you win against whoever you play, and that counts for something. And they're 4-0 in the NFC, which is just crazy that you're 4 weeks in and you got – a 4-0 record. You're already ahead of Seattle. You know, they, even though they're undefeated, you'd win the tiebreaker at this point. So I don't know. It's I don't think they could have mapped a better start.
Right. I mean, it a plus 51 point differential in 4 weeks. But you're right, their combined opponents are 4-13. And as we said, you know, over the last few weeks here, Tom, you can only play who you play when you play them. And all these teams suck that they've played. I mean, let's face it, Detroit and Atlanta, in my opinion, should have interim coaches before the year's out.
Yeah.
But again, that's a difference from a year ago, where, you know, Matt LaFleur wasn't happy. He thought they should have really ended it coming out of the break when it was 20-3 with the possession. And you know, that's a coaching point. And as Aaron Rodgers said post game, coaches love having things to correct when you're winning. But they didn't even do this a year ago. They couldn't blow teams out and win by double digits. When before we switch to defense, Tom, I am curious. So Malik Taylor, he was used in some orbit motions. There was one specifically I thought that really opened up a swing pass to Aaron Jones for a nice play going the other direction. Mm-hmm. He did catch a ball that helped set up a touchdown, finished off quite physically at the end, his first career catch. Now, Darius Shepherd, for all of the bouquets Aaron Rodgers threw his way, set up the 4th-and-1 by kind of falling down and not getting into the end zone. And
he mentioned that route should have been run into the end zone, you know,
that too. So what did you see? Marquez Valdes-Scantling got a lot of coverage his way. I thought he made some nice physical catches in intermediate routes. They Atlanta did not want him taking the top off. So what did you see out of the actual receivers that did play Monday night?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I didn't watch him very much.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wrote this in my story. I have to look it back up again. But he attempted 14 of his 33 passes to wide receivers. You know, and every single pass that he threw to Jamal Williams, Robert Tonyan, and Aaron Jones was caught.
Right.
You know, 8 for 8, 6 for 6, 5 for 5. So that's just crazy. And 4 of his 8 passes to Valdes-Scantling were incomplete. He did make a couple of nice catches and first downs, and that's good for him. But he really does need to figure out a way to. I mean, they're going to need him at some point, and he's got to be better than what he's been. You know, it's tough. Yeah, when Davante Adams is gone, they're not going to let him get deep on them. But sometimes you do have to get deep anyways, you know, and he's got to figure that out. This
right.
is a good there experience was... for him, you know.
No, exactly. I think, and the way this is set up, who knows when we'll get a chance to talk to him again. But, I mean, he tweeted after the Saints game that seeing that extra attention was definitely different. And I will say, I think there was one play, Tom, where Aaron Rodgers, specifically in the Packers, missed having Adams, perhaps Lazard. It was a back shoulder throw into the end zone.
Yeah.
That Valdes-Scantling just did. He ended up getting one hand on it, but clearly, that's like a money touchdown.
Davante Adams rolls out of bed making those kind of catches, you know? He, exactly. I remember that precisely.
Yeah. So I think that'll be not only a coaching point, but that's, you know, something I'm sure the quarterback will point out to Valdes-Scantling. I mean, look, they don't have the – yeah.
So, it's not to interrupt, but even though I just did. There's guys who are capable of making that catch, and there's guys who aren't capable of making that catch. And maybe he's just not capable of making that catch, you know.
Yeah. It's true, and I guess it's one of those things, Tom, where – the practice to the game day. I mean, it's one thing to maybe do it on Ray Nitschke Field, and it's a whole other, you know, in that sort of setting. Because that's to me a rep thing with the quarterback and kind of knowing the leverage of the corner at that point and maybe recognizing the spacing, you know, that's, I don't know, that's such a fine art, or at least they make it look that way when it looks so good.
Yeah.
The offense was able to put 30 points up, Tom, and I thought this was the best day of complimentary football the Packers have played. You know, the 16 points allowed, a season best. Matt Ryan and that offense was held to just 6 explosive pass plays. And that's by Mike Pettine's definition, which is of only 15 yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't get anything going down the field. And I want to lead off with what I thought was a really important stop. And that was in the red zone. So after the Packers couldn't get in on 4th-and-1, the Falcons marched 94 yards and 1st-and-goal at the 5. And they don't get in. And that 4-point swing, so instead of 7-7, Tom, it's 7-3. That took up 10.5 minutes. I mean, look, the Packers were able to score. They were able to push the envelope then and go up 13-3 and then 20-3. Atlanta scored 2 more red zone touchdowns after that. But Tom, they're in that catch up mode then, and it's a way different ball game. I don't know. I just felt like for once this year, the Packers defense made the stand that we saw them make regularly a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then they played that, it wasn't great, but it was their, to me at least, their best effort.
Yeah, I think so. I think they, I think Patton must have stood in the defensive meeting room, or maybe he went to the DB's room and said, under no circumstances shall a ball be caught over your heads, because I saw Savage and Amos play way more disciplined than I'd ever seen them. I mean, anytime there was a deep ball, there were 2 guys and the safeties were there. You know, I think they took like 5 shots at Ridley and none of them were caught. He was shut out. And so, you have to give Jair Alexander a lot of credit for that too, but there was always a safety over the top, and Savage made a nice play. It was kind of a nice play, although Ryan could have thrown a better ball, but real early they tried to do that cover 2 beater down the right sideline, and Savage got over there and got a hand on it. So yeah, they were not going to let them go deep.
Yeah, and fortune favors it's usually fortune favors the bold, but I think in this instance, fortune favored the consistent and in that way, Tom, because you mentioned those deep shots. So yes, Ridley did have that route one. If Ryan just throws it towards the sideline, I mean, that's a huge play, but Ridley had to turn around, which Darnell Savage Jr. shows up, he drops it, there's some contact, and Ridley beat Jair Alexander on that other deep ball, Tom. If Ryan just throws that out into the middle of the field, and away from, where Ridley can keep running as opposed to turning up, and Alexander with that closing speed. And then finally, at the end of the game, that 4th-down play, Ridley again got over the top, actually over Savage Jr., but Ryan's throw, he was on the move, but it was a little low and short, which allowed Adrian Amos to shoot over and knock that ball away. And look, deep balls are low percentage anyway, and I just named 3 there where if the quarterback makes a better throw, maybe it's a different result. Yeah. But that's the point, though. Like I think they were consistent enough in all those other areas, Tom, where those 3 plays I mentioned where the quarterback wasn't as accurate perhaps as he'd like to be, it didn't hurt him. And they only give up 16 points to what was the number 9 scoring offense in the league the first 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that was the bottom line. Julio Jones went out at halftime, and he shouldn't have played in this game. But, you know, you're 0-3 and you got to figure out a way to win a game to save your job. Yeah, you got to play him, you know. So I don't think, you know, I don't have a problem, I guess, with that. But he just – they tried to get him the ball in the flats and let him, you know, run with it a little bit. And that was not very good. You know, that was – they couldn't get Todd Gurley going, really. And the Packers, I thought, played really good run defense. They were on their game, even without Kenny Clark.
Yeah, I thought Atlanta did try to establish Gurley early. I don't know if he was hampered late, Tom. There was that stretch, you know, where it was Brian Hill and Ito Smith for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, Gurley, 16 carries, 57 yards, 3.6 average. But, you know, he had one explosive run with the 13 yards. And I think that was, you know, perhaps more unexpected than anything, Tom, coming in. We knew Atlanta was going to try to test the Packers deep, but I was curious to see if they would be able to hang with that Falcons running game. And they did, to their credit, to be able to turn in a decent performance without Kenny Clark again. And then, you know, that Chris Barnes, who started at middle linebacker, he went out with an injury. Savage Jr. missed plays. Will Redmond missed plays. Yeah. I mean, Kevin King missed the second half with a quad injury. So, I mean, they were – Chandon Sullivan was out early with a concussion. I mean, they – Rashawn Gary didn't play. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Kadar Holman and some of these guys who haven't seen many snaps finishing the game out for them.
Yeah, and they were resilient. And they did their job. I mean, this team, Atlanta, scored a lot of points. I'm not really sure how, but they have scored a lot of points. Because even without Julio Jones, they've scored a lot of points. But they weren't going to do it here.
Right. It's which is, you know, again, a credit to the Packers. I had thought Atlanta would put up at least 20. But, you know, I'm sure Mike Pettin is, well, he's going to hope he gets more of these guys back for Tampa Bay, but has to be happy going to the bye. So I ran through a few injuries there. Josiah DeGuara on offense walked off, if you want to call it that, with assistance. He ended up being taken on a cart to the locker room. That was probably the scariest looking injury that the Packers suffered. And, you know, Davante Adams, as we mentioned at the top here, Tom, did not play. He let the world know at about 8:40 and going to play. He didn't seem happy about it. Yeah. Arrest Kenny Clark with a groin injury for a second week after he practiced all week. You know, they got the win, and they're two of their best players on each side of the ball, you would presume, are going to be healthy going into what the Packers hope is going to be a run of 15 straight games after this bye week.
Yeah. And they should be pretty, pretty healthy though. I would think there's a chance that Kamal Martin could be ready in time for that game. So they can start to work him back in. You know, it's probably, it was the right decision. And whether it was LaFleur's or not, he claimed it wasn't. It might have been. It turned out to be it was a little bit of a gamble, but he has a lot of confidence in his team. And his team is better than Atlanta. I mean, that's just, they've got more talent. And so he played the odds, and the odds were good. Or the odds worked out, I mean.
Right. And I think, I mean, not that you could point to these things, but look, it's an easy thing to do. Julio Jones practiced every day on a limited basis on a hamstring, did not play the week before, could not finish the game. A couple weeks ago, Tampa Bay's Chris Godwin tried the same thing, mm-hmm. Also re-injured it during a game, has been out for a while. So yeah. Not that Davante Adams wants to hear that, but at the end of the day, what I think when it comes to these soft tissue injuries, especially with receivers, you know, may prove to be the best decision. You know, you can't predict such things, but it seems smart.
It's a long season, and if this were week 15 and the Packers were playing for something, maybe it would have been different. I don't know.
Right. Well, speaking of, let's wrap it on this, Tom. 4-0, you've mentioned it a couple times here, 4-0 in the conference, 2-0 in the division. The Bears lost the game, so it's really, you know, so it's Seattle, the Los Angeles Rams, the Bears at 3-1. I don't know whatever's going on in the East at this point, but what is
it? Philadelphia leads at 1-2.
You know what? That first quick sidebar, to me, that's going to be just like last year, Tom, where 8-7-1 wins that division for the Eagles. They're going to get all these guys from IR back, and we're going to be talking about how they're going to be a dangerous postseason team. But what does this mean? They're at the quarter pole. They're at the bye. What sort of just general impressions are you taking away into this short break from the Packers start?
Well, I sort of think the bye – It sounds like it comes at a good time, but yeah, I don't think they want to slow down this offensive juggernaut. And sometimes, you know, taking some time off can do that. And Rodgers didn't seem too happy that he's got to stick around Green Bay for a week. So I don't know, but it's going to help them from a health standpoint. But a bye week helps you no matter what time it comes, you know, it just helps you. You've always got guys injured. So all things being equal, they might've benefited from a bye later in the week, the way they're playing. It'd be hard to beat them right now. So they'll come back in a week or in 2 weeks and they'll play at Tampa, and that'll be a challenging game.
Yeah, it'll be, of course, it's a marquee matchup with the quarterbacks. Go figure, Tom. Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady never played each other when they were at their respective with New England. And here's the first time of Tom Brady and a new team. And the Packers get to go down. And that'll be interesting because Tampa Bay, on a short week, travels to Chicago. They lost tight end O.J. Howard to an Achilles injury. They're real banged up as well. That's this, I guess, 10-day stretch for Tampa Bay and even to the Packers to some degree and the Bears, what a important turnaround, I guess, coming in the next 2 weeks for both the division and potentially the conference. It's especially so early in the year, you wouldn't necessarily expect that.
Yeah, but it's going to allow them to do some things, I think. It's going to allow them maybe to – begin to work A.J. Dillon into the offense a little bit. They got to be really disappointed that DeGora's hurt again, because he was really looking like he could be a solid part of the offense. And now, I don't know, man, I sort of got the sense that he had re-injured his ankle, but
okay.
I don't know. I don't know that for sure. It was the same, I believe it was the same leg as the ankle, but maybe the weak ankle caused something else. I don't know. We'll find out. But that's, they got to be really disappointed that injury happened. So, I mean, there'll be some more opportunities for guys as the season goes on, and just they couldn't ask for a better position to be in.
Sure. Well, you know, Tom, it's early or late for us, I guess. We want to thank everyone for subscribing and all the various podcast platforms for the Green 19 podcast. Also, be sure to go over to jsonline.com/deals and packersnews.com and subscribe there. Download the app, turn on the notifications, because it's Brian Gutekunst, and for all we know, he's going to make like 12 roster moves in the next 4 days. We will have them all for you. If he does, turn on your notifications. You'll find out as soon as we do. And, you know, be sure to check out Tom's work, Olivia Reiner's, Ryan Woods, Pete Doherty's, and myself. over on both those platforms and across all social media as well. Thank you, Tom. Enjoy your few days off, and you've earned it in the bubble.
Yeah.
And we will be back with you with the Green 19 podcast, previewing the game in Tampa Bay. So we will talk to you guys soon.